Let's look at St. John, the 8th chapter tonight. St. John, the 8th chapter. I need the Lord to help me. I need the Holy Ghost to move tonight. Minister to us, if you would. Amen. You just can't hardly preach without Him. St. John, chapter 8. Amen. The Bible said Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now when Moses the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I'm going to read verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Asking and praying that you sweep over this house. We thank you for the anointing of God. The Holy Ghost power has moved already in this service. Father, I pray that you help us. You said faith cometh by hearing, not by singing, not by shouting, not by leaping, not by jumping. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's why we're here tonight, to hear your Word preached and sang and testified in just every other way that you see fit tonight. God, I pray that this word, it dislodges in the hearts of each individual here and it bring forth seed. I pray that you change us tonight and you move in such a mighty way that we walk away from here saying, Great is the God of heaven. And we're going to ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen tonight. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Well, tonight's the big night. Tonight's the night everybody makes their New Year's resolutions. I mean, there's a lot of folks going to go on diets tonight, you know. I'm going to eat right next year. I'm going to go exercise. I'm going to join the gym. I'm going to do this. I'm going to lose 147 pounds, you know, in 2007. And there's going to be about 1 million people quit smoking tonight, you know. Tonight I'm quitting smoking. This is my last cigarette. No, never drink again. This will be my last party. Never get drunk again. Y'all probably never did that when you were in sin, but I made a few resolutions myself. I said I wasn't going to do some things, and they resolved to go on diets, resolved to go to church more, resolved to pray more, resolved to make more money and build them a company next year, and they're going to do this, and got this resolution and that resolution, and a week later, and probably tomorrow, it's business as usual. They break their resolution on their way to the store to buy their camels. And they forgot to pray because they were so drunk last night, the hangover just wiped them out. And before you know it, they're in the same place they were the day before. I think instead of New Year's resolutions, I think that I would be more appropriate to say we need a New Year's revolution. Wouldn't you? That's what I want to preach on tonight, is a New Year's revolution. There's several different meanings of the word revolution. The most basic one is a 360-degree turn. is the root of that word is revolve. It's a 360-degree turn. When the revolution is finished, you're back where you started. And that's RPMs, it's revolutions per minute. And so you understand revolution is a complete circle. But, you know, you think about the word in the context of a revolutionary war. There's other definitions of this war, this word here, revolution. One meaning an overthrow of a government, an overthrow of a power, and reinstatement of another. And there's a lot of different meanings of this word, revolution. And one that I couldn't find in Webster, couldn't find anywhere, but I know it's the truth because I have it in my heart. A revolution spiritually would be an enlightenment, a change of mind, a change of heart. Not just a little bit, but entire revolution. And I'm coming to the understanding as this year comes to a close that we need more than just a resolution. We need a revolution in our lives. Somebody shout amen tonight. Well, I read to you tonight a strange story concerning this topic, how in the world are we going to tie it all in together. Well, I'm not real sure, but we're going to try to before it's over. The Bible said that Jesus was teaching. He was talking to the people, and in John 8:3-5, then the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. We caught her. She's red-handed. She was doing it. We saw her. We know it's true. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. They're setting him up. But what sayest thou? What do you say about it? You see, he's trying to teach, and this angry mob makes their way down, and they're kicking and they're pushing this woman, and she's falling to the ground, and they're jerking her up and they're mistreating her, and they bring her down to Jesus and throw her at his feet. Now, sometimes the devil will put you right where God wants you. Do you know that? Amen. Sometimes the devil will bring you right to where God wants you. This woman had been caught. She had messed up real bad. She was going to pay the price. Now, you know, she needed to be stopped. They needed to be caught. She was committing adultery. And I'll be honest, and for a moment I felt sorry for her, and still do to a certain degree. But I tried to put myself in her husband's shoes. I tried to put myself in that man's wife's shoes. And I didn't feel too much sorry for her. I mean, a woman committing adultery, busting up a marriage, maybe going to bust up two marriages. There was probably some children out there somewhere that was getting ready to go through a nasty divorce. How you know this woman was a mess, and they needed to be caught. The adultery needed to be stopped. They needed to be stopped. They threw her down at Jesus' feet. She lay in the dirt, soiled, unclean, broken. Her hair was disheveled, matted together. Her face was darkened from the dust. Her knees and elbows were bloody from being repeatedly thrown upon the ground. She was afraid, and she trembled as she lay there before this angry mob. She was terrified. She was going to die today. Her fate would be a brutal and traumatic one. It wasn't going to be an injection. It was going to be a stoning. And the men that brought her to Jesus had already picked up their stones. And when we think of a stoning, we think of a little pebble out in the yard, a little piece of gravel. But they were picking up stones that would fit in your hand. And when they hit you with those stones, it tore flesh from your face. It would break your nose. It would dislocate your jaw with one strike of a stone. And it was a very brutal and traumatic death. And here she lays at the feet of Jesus, knowing that she's getting ready to die this terrible and heinous death. There was nothing that she could say. There was nothing that she could plead. She couldn't say, I was innocent. She couldn't say it was a setup. She couldn't say, I didn't do it, because she was caught in the very act. And she was guilty, and she knew the word was against her. She knew the law was against her. But there she lay in the dirt, and it was over for her, and there was nothing that she could do about it. But sometimes the devil brings you right to where God wants you. You see, the enemy pushed her. The enemy threw her. The enemy chanted and screamed guilefully at her all the way to Jesus. All the way to Jesus. They threw her down. And in my mind's eye, I can see her laying on the ground with her head slumped. I can see her with her head buried in a bare arm, weeping and crying frantically like a small child trembling and afraid. Now you see, there's a lot of things that can put you in that position. Did you know that? There's a lot of things that can put you on the ground. And it's not always sin. Sometimes it's a combination of life. It's a combination of things that come upon you. It's not always sin that puts you in that condition. Life plays hard and life never plays fair. Sometimes life will throw you on the ground. Financial problems can put you on the ground. Being young, stuck, and not really knowing what direction that you're heading, not really knowing which direction to go can throw you on the ground. Are you going to help me preach tonight? Marital problems can throw you on the ground. And the death of a family member, a mother, a father, a son, a daughter can throw you down. Growing old and hearing the enemy tell you over and over, you're going to die. Your mama had cancer. You've got cancer. It'll throw you down. Hearing the enemy tell you for 6 months, you're going to die of a heart attack. You're going to leave that woman a widow tomorrow. You're going to leave those children childless. I'll be honest with you, hearing that for 6 months, it can cast you down, Brother Razor. Coming to the house of God and having a wife at the house, sick and not knowing, it can cast you down. It ain't got to be adultery. It ain't got to be sin. But there's been a lot of things in the year of 2006 that has cast the people of God's miracle mission down upon their back. Being in a nursing home for weeks and weeks at a time, not knowing if you're going to live or die, that can put you on the ground. Amen. Help me preach tonight, Holy Ghost. There's a lot of things that can knock you down. Now, sometimes I've noticed this, that tragedy strikes. Sometimes we handle it. We survive it. But sometimes, though the tragedy itself doesn't kill us, the aftermath puts us on our backs. The aftermath puts us on our backs. Let me explain tonight. I've watched different ones go through terrible ordeals which they survived, but their faith was demolished. Their faith was crushed. Their strength was depleted, and they quit praying. And they quit reading God's Word like they knew they should. The ordeal didn't quite destroy them, but the prayerlessness and the doubt that followed got to them in the end. They were staggering after the storm, but it was what they did after the storm that put them on their back. Had they bounced up and went fasting and praying and reading God's Word and got full of God's Holy Ghost, they would have stood, they would have made it. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, you've got to call for the Spirit of God. Lift up a standard. But if you try to go on, you'll find yourself laying flat on your back from the aftermath of a tragedy. Help me, Holy Ghost. Does it really matter why you're on the ground tonight, really? Does it really matter? Does it really matter what the reason is, whether it's life, whether it's Satan, whether it's sin, whether it's a combination of all three? I think it's important tonight that we just know where you're at. Being on your back's on your back, brother. Laying in the dust with an angry mob surrounding you with rocks in their hand trying to kill you. It doesn't matter why you're there. We just need to know you're there tonight. You see, John 8:3. Bible said, the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, one of the greatest follies, I believe, that we can allow ourselves to fall into is only seeing an angry mob and this woman laying there. See, even as I preach, that's all we see. We see Jesus sitting there kneeling down. We really don't see Him like we should. Well, he's an afterthought. He's over on the side. We focus on the mob, and we focus on the rocks, and we focus on a broken woman. We slightly see Him. He's over in a corner somewhere. But I want you to notice the Bible said the scribes and Pharisees brought her unto Him. She was not only in the presence of those that hated her. She was not only in the presence of her enemies. She was also in the presence of the Lord. I said she was in the presence of the Lord. She was there with Jesus. But her eyes were so full of the enemy and the rocks and the dirt and the problem and the sin and the trouble. She didn't see who else was there beside her. It's a folly. The beauty of this service tonight is He is in the midst of us. I want to ask you a question. What good will it do you if He's here and you never lift your eyes? You never see Him. And you feel alone. All some of you see is the dirt. For a long time, many months now, all you've seen is the mob. All you've seen is the stones. But by the grace and mercy of Almighty God, there is another one who walks in the furnace tonight. Somebody shout amen. There is another one that walks in the flames tonight, and His name is Jesus. Some are like the disciples on their way to Emmaus. I mean, they're walking and they're crying and they're weeping, and they're talking with Him, and He's there beside them the whole entire time. But all they can see is the death of that man on the cross. They see the crucifixion. They see the hopelessness and the helplessness. But the whole time Jesus is walking beside them. And I came to church tonight praying, God, would You open somebody's eyes and let there be a fire kindled up in their heart, and let them know they may be on the ground, but they're not alone. There's one in the midst that's getting ready to make a move and help them get up. I pray tonight your eyes are open. Some are going to cry at the end of the day, surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. That's not what tonight's about. I'm telling you, I felt deep in my heart that tonight was a turning point. I felt tonight could be a time of a revolution for somebody. Coming in with one mind frame and leaving with a victorious mind frame. I may be down, but I'm not out. I'm getting back up tonight. I refuse to go into 2007 with the same mind frame that I'm closing out 2006. I need a revolution. I don't need just a revival. I don't just need refresh. I need my mind changed. I need my mind renewed, transformed. God, would You do a work in this house tonight? I like what I'm getting ready to tell you. You're going to like it too. John 8:6. This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. You probably already knew what I'm getting ready to tell you, but it blew my mind. It blew me away. Jesus stooped down, and with His finger, He wrote on the ground, as though they heard Him not. This picture is one of the beautifulest pictures the entire Bible affords. These men, this council, they cried aloud. They demanded that she be stoned to death. They tempted Him. They asked Him what He thought should be done to her. They wanted to entrap Him. But Jesus is too wise for mortal men. He could not agree with them because the picture of His mercy would be tainted. He could not refute what they were saying because they would be fighting against the law of Moses.
And he could not disregard her sins, because to do so would taint his justice. And so he said nothing. He could not dispute them, so he said nothing. He stooped down and began to write in the dirt. Now many men have conjectured on what he wrote. Some said he wrote Amazing Grace. I mean, I've been preaching on Paul and Silas in the jail. They said, I don't know if he might have sang Amazing Grace. I know they didn't sing Amazing Grace, because that song wasn't written for a couple, now about 1900 years later. Oh, but they didn't try to say he wrote this. And some said he wrote the Psalm 23. Or some Jewish legend states that he wrote Adultery and looked at one man. He dropped the stone and walked away. Scribbled it out. He wrote fornication on there and looked at another. He dropped the stone and walked away. He wrote distortion on the ground. He knew their number. I can believe that. I have to be honest tonight. I've read, I've studied, I couldn't tell me times I've preached out of this passage of Scripture. I've got to be honest tonight. I don't know what Jesus wrote. I really don't. I can't find it in the Bible. I can't find no record. And I'm going to also tell you this. I don't know that he actually wrote anything. He might have just been scribbling and running his fingers through the dirt, and they didn't know how else to explain it. He may have just ran his fingers. He may have just been picking up the dirt and scratching and scribbling and running his hands. I don't know what he said tonight. I wish I could tell you what he wrote. Have no idea. No, I don't know what he wrote, but I do know why he wrote tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't know what he wrote. I certainly know why he wrote. You see, this is the perfect picture of the incarnation of Christ. This is the perfect typology of the incarnation of Christ. The stooping of Jesus. The riding in the dirt. You stay with me just for a moment here. You'll understand what I'm saying. The Bible said in Philippians 2 and 8 that Jesus was found in fashion as a man and humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. Now this word humbled, it means to bring down. It means to bring low. And I also read in Genesis 3 and 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. When Jesus left the throne of glory, he stooped down to run his fingers through lost humanity. He stooped down to run his fingers through the mire and muck that you were in, that you were in. He came. He stooped down so he could touch you right where you're at. Help us, Holy Ghost. He stooped down to run his divine finger to the mire and muck of sin where lost men and women were hiding. He stooped down and touched a blind man at the pool of Siloam. He spit on the ground. He stooped again. The Bible said he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. He stooped down and he touched a deaf man who had an impediment of speech. Put his fingers in his ears. Spit. Touched his tongue. And said, be opened. And his ears were opened. The string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. He stooped down, and he touched blind Bartimaeus as he cried, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He stopped and said, what do you need, son? He said, I want my sight. He said, be it unto you according to your faith. It's done. And so he touched a blind man. I saw the little woman as she pressed through the crowd, bleeding to death. She had tried many physicians. She had tried everything. And we always preach that she touched him. But in all reality, he stooped down and touched her. That's why she was healed. Oh, he stooped down and he went to a well down in Samaria. She had had five husbands and she was shacked up. But he still reached down and he ran his fingers through her life, through the dirt of her life. Hey, he stooped down and he touched her. Amen. He stooped down and touched a band of 10 leprous men. One turned and glorified him. He made him whole. I mean, ears grew back and fingers grew back and toes grew back. He reached down and he touched the lame. He touched the blind. He touched the deaf. He ran his fingers through Solomon's porch and healed a man that had been laying there for all them years trying to get into the water. But Jesus stooped down and touched him. And he walked. He didn't need the angel. He didn't need the water. He had the Son of God standing on the porch. Mary Magdalene came. And Jesus stooped down. And he cast 7 devils out of her. He came and he touched Saul of Tarsus. And struck him down blind. And when the 3 days was over, he was no longer Saul of Tarsus. He was the greatest apostle that would ever live. Hey, he had to look up to stoop down and touch Zacchaeus. But he said, come on down. Today, I'm going to go to your house. Yes, he stooped down and he touched him. I wonder tonight, is there anybody in this house can remember the night he stooped down? He ran his fingers through the dirt of your life. Can you remember where you were at? I was in an old S10 pickup truck in Berea, Kentucky. I was had a red light in front of Dairy Queen. I remember as yesterday, there pulling into a gas station so intoxicated I couldn't see. But God, oh Lord, help us, Holy Ghost. Some of you can even remember a time since you've been saved. I'll have to be honest, I can myself. That I was struggling, I found myself laying in the dirt. Even after the Lord had came to me and I'd yielded my life to Him. There's been times since then, Brother Razor, that the Lord stooped down again and ran His fingers through my life. Amen. Is anybody else here can relate with me tonight? I mean, life got so hard, you were laying in the dirt, but you felt the hand of God come out of nowhere and He rescued you. Hey, some of you, your lives were so tangled. It was only the hand of God that could turn and make it right. Amen. Maybe He did write something. Because I remember a few times He reached into my heart and wrote, I'm still here, son. There have been a few times I was drawing my last breath. And He wrote something in my heart. I still love you. I haven't given up on you. I'm still here for you. Here in the dust lies a broken, shattered, messed up woman, wondering if her fate is going to be what she thinks it is. She lies there wondering how she could have allowed herself to get in such a mess. But the fingers that were writing upon the physical dirt were getting ready to write something upon her heart. I said the fingers that were writing upon the physical dirt was getting ready to write something upon her heart. I need you to listen to me tonight, those that are here tonight broken, those that have been through hell and high water, those that have been through the ups, the downs, those that have been through troubles and trials, and you're laying in the dirt tonight, there was another reason that Jesus stooped down and rolled in the dirt. Yes, it was a beautiful picture of the incarnation of Christ, but there was another reason. I want to tell some broken woman tonight, there was another reason that Jesus stooped down. I want to tell a weary hearted man, there was another reason that Jesus stooped down. He stooped down because she couldn't get up. Are you hearing me? I said he stooped down because she could not get herself up. He didn't wait until she could stand. He didn't wait until she could fast 40 days. He didn't wait until she could get to the temple and offer sacrifice. He said, I'm coming to you, baby. Hold on, my daughter. I'm coming. Hey, some here tonight desperately needs to know if you'll be right where he's at, if you'll stay right where you're at tonight. I promise you, if you'll fall down before him like that woman was before Jesus, he'll take his fingers and the things the cankerworm has eaten, the things the locusts have destroyed. Listen to me, husbands and wives, those that's got marriages on the rocks, those that are hurting, those that are struggling, I've got a God who says, I want to reach down. I want to reach down. Maybe there's one here lost. He said, I'm going to stoop down and touch your heart tonight. My God. My God. He came to her and he's come to you tonight. He wants to write something in your heart again. Oh, what a beautiful passage of scripture. He stooped over in silence. The angry Jewish mob stood around him. This woman laying there in the dirt. They've got the rocks in their hands. They were thirsty for her blood. They wanted to see justice carried out. They wanted to see this woman laying upon her back dead, gasping for breath. The Bible says in verse 7 through 9, so when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up. He lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and rolled on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. He that is without sin, let him first cast a stone at her. He didn't even wait for their answer. He went back to the ground. He went back with his finger in the dirt. And one by one, the stones began to drop. It wasn't anything he wrote in the dirt that turned them away. It was the words that he spoke to them. He spoke for this little woman. They wanted to see her dead. But Jesus rose up and faced her enemy. Listen to me tonight, saints of God. I've got a feeling tonight that God is going to raise up. And when he's done with you tonight, the enemy is going to drop his rocks. The rocks of fear. The rocks of doubt. The rocks of unbelief that he's thrown at you. Your enemy's going to drop them one by one. And they're going to walk away. And when this night is finished, if you really want it, it's just going to be you and Jesus. And no enemy, no storm, no thorns. Just you and the Master. Help me, God. By faith, I believe the Lord is going to make some of your enemies drop their stones tonight. Perhaps he already has for some of you. But you have got to raise your head. It's a woman. A woman. or those down accusers. She looked up. I have not. I have not. She looked at him. Hold on. I don't condemn you either. Go. Sin no more. Oh God. I intentionally left out the last phrase in verse 9. It states this, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. He raises her. Seeing her. The people had backed away. The mob was gone. And there was a pile of rocks laying on the ground. And there stood Jesus. And there stood this woman. By every right, she should have died. By every means, she should have been stoned to death. The enemy can't kill you. You get along with Jesus. Verse 10 and 11. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man's Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go, sin no more. This woman didn't need revival. No. She knew she was in trouble. This woman knew she had problems. Revival is a refreshing. The Lord could have refreshed her, but she would have just been the same woman they pulled out of that bed. Jesus didn't give her revival. He gave her a revolution. She looked like the same woman. She drug herself away, same elbow scarred up, boob bleeding, and the face dirty. But there was a smile on her face. Because God can change you. I said, God can change you. Are you hearing me? God can change the situation. Why would you give up on a husband? God can change him. Why would you give up on a child? God can change him. Why would you give up on a situation? God can change them. Hey, somebody tonight, you're needing a revolution. You're needing a change. And I know if you'll do business with God, He'll give it to you in this service right here. I read verse 12 for a distinct purpose. I couldn't believe it. She left, was making her way home. Hopefully she had a sheet. I don't know if she had any clothes. And the people gathered around him again. They saw everything with a lot. This is what he said. This is what he said. I am the light of the world. After that, they gathered around me and said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's why you are not going to die. That's why you are not going to leave here the same way you came. Because the life giver is in this house. If you need Him, He's here. If you need a revolution, He's here. And He'll give it to you. Stand with me across the house. Have delivered my heart.
I wonder what kind of response he had on the next sermon. He wasn't boasting. Those people were looking at that woman as she was making her way back. They couldn't believe it. He had touched her. Filthy, mangled, matted hair. Jesus touched her. The enemy didn't like it. The people didn't like it. And they were beholding him. And he answered their question. They didn't ask it with their voices. They were asking with their eyes. They were looking at her, looking at him, looking at her, looking at him. He said, I'm the light of the world. Father, would you come to us tonight? I pray, Holy Ghost, sweep this house. I have felt the anointing of God upon my heart tonight. I have delivered not a sermon, but a message from the throne of God. Lord, I know you delivered this to this people tonight. Nothing that I've said, nothing that I've done. I pray that you have forgiven me for my insufficiencies in the pulpit. But God, the message has been cleared tonight. There are those that are laying in the dirt right now, and the enemy stands around them with stones, and it looks like death is inevitable. But you said, I will run my fingers through their hearts. I will run my fingers through their life, and I will give them a restoration tonight. I pray that they sober up tonight. They take this message serious and understand this not just for the Lamb preaching again, but it is a word from God, and that they'll lift their head and understand that you're in our midst tonight, and the enemy's going to drop their rocks. The enemy's going to walk away, and they're going to get a peace tonight, a victory that they haven't had in a long time. Father, I pray you send the Holy Ghost across this house. Give us a revolution. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. He stooped down in that STM a lot. But I remember a time even more clear. 1 month before I pastored this church, only God knows. Sister Lamb, only God knows what we went through. Brother Green, I was at the Berea Evangelistic Church with my friend pastors. I was just walking at the balcony there in the foyer, and I was just walking. God, I don't know where to go anymore. Money, no revivals, everything is shut down. I want to pastor this church, but the pastor says he's not deep. He stooped down and he touched me. Nothing changed. I still didn't have money. I still didn't have a revival. But I had something written in my heart. And I raised up. And I said, I shall not die, but live. I shall not die, but live. Is there anyone in this house tonight that feels that raising up in them? I shall not die. I will not die. I shall live. Peggy Shelley, I shall not die. I shall live. Let's worship Him for a while. We're not going anywhere. I'll tell you what, this altar's open. You want to come around and pray tonight? We don't need any music. Just seek the face of God. Let the Holy Ghost deal with our hearts tonight. He has stooped down in this service to write something upon somebody's heart.